Hi, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. How do you explain to your three-year-old why you've lost your hair, why you have to go away to the hospital for a long period of time, and most importantly, that you are sick with cancer? Amanda Ferraro, an acute myeloid leukemia survivor who writes blog posts for the CURE Voices program, explains how she navigated parenthood during cancer in this episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast. She also discusses the importance of mental health and shares advice for other patients and survivors. Okay, so can you just walk us through your cancer journey, how you came to receive your diagnosis, your initial reaction, and then what your treatment process was?
So I was first diagnosed May 17th of 2017. I was told in March of 2017 I had mono, so I didn't really know I had cancer until I had went back to the emergency room. So at that time when I was diagnosed, it was pretty severe. I was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. I went to a specialty hospital that dealt with leukemia, and I had induction chemo, which was 33 days in the hospital. Then I was able to go home, and then it was back and forth like every other day. And then I went to every 3 days and then like once a week. And that was about a 2-month process. And then I went for 4 consolidation therapies. So each consolidation therapy was 1 week. And then I would go home, and then I would do the every other day back at the hospital, making sure my blood work would come back. So that was a long process from May until February of 2018. I was told I was in remission. All my counts were great. No cancer found. And then 6 months later, I relapsed with AML. I got the call September 11th, 2018. I started my second induction chemo September 17th of 2018. And then I was in the hospital for 31 days that time. Came home. I was told I needed a stem cell transplant. So 3 weeks after coming home, I went right back into the hospital for conditioning chemo. And then I started my stem cell transplant. It took me about 5 or 6 months to become 100% donor. Usually it's really quickly, but I have a genetic mutation that causes cancer. It's called TP53. So my donor stem cells were trying to kill off whatever cancer I have left, but I'm almost 3 years post-transplant and I'm doing really well right now. So fingers crossed.
So obviously you were really, really young when you received your diagnosis. Can you talk about what that was like to go through cancer at a young age and what the hardest part about that is?
So I was 28 when I received my diagnosis. Yeah, it was hard. I was a mom. I had a 3-year-old. I was a stay-at-home mom, so I was with him 24 hours a day. The one day I had went to the hospital and I put him to bed at night, and then I went because I didn't know I was sick, but I felt like something was off, and I didn't come home for 33 days. So that was really the hardest part for me, was leaving my son. You know, from being a full-time caregiver to needing full-time care, it really like completely changed my life 180. It was a total flip-flop.
What were some of the most helpful forms of support that you got from, you know, friends and family, like kind of more of the positive parts of your journey maybe?
So a big positive for me was the social worker at my hospital. She was absolutely amazing. She helped me with everything I needed. My family and friends were great. They called me every day. I made a schedule up. So in the morning, I would call to make sure my son was eating breakfast and they were up to get ready for school. And that was something my mom came up with, which was really wonderful for me because it helped me get through the days at the hospital because I would maintain a schedule. So that was great. But asking things that I needed, sending cards, having other people send cards, just knowing that you're loved and you're cared about. You know, a few ministers came to see me. I started a Facebook page and like a YouTube page and a blog. And all that really helped. Social media helped me a lot during my cancer diagnosis, and I'm really grateful for that.
And so obviously you're one of our contributors for CURE. You talk about kind of like on the same note, how writing has helped you.
Yeah, writing has helped me so much. I wasn't really that great in high school. I have 2 years of college under my belt, but from previous medical conditions, I wasn't able to finish. So for me, writing, it was just for me and about what I was going through. But I learned that a lot of people feel the same way that I do. And speaking just your truth and what you feel and from the heart is the best way to do it. And it really gravitated towards people, what I was going through and how I was speaking about it and just being honest. And I love doing what I do. I love contributing. I love making other cancer patients know that what they're going through, they're not alone in their journey, and there's always someone to talk to and to help you out.
Got it. So going off of that, you know, if you could talk to someone that was just being diagnosed with cancer for the first time, you know, what advice would you give them?
I would say that this is going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, but there are so many people out there. The cancer community is absolutely amazing. You go on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and there's so many people that are willing to help. You can ask for help, and it's okay to ask for help. I know it's hard, but you can do it. You can get through it. I've had 7 brain surgeries, cancer twice, and a stem cell transplant. And I'm telling you, if you have the motivation behind it, you can get through it.
Do you think, you know, if you could see yourself now from the day that you were diagnosed, you know, what do you think you would think of yourself years later?
I am kind of amazed at like everything I've done. I like started my Facebook page and my blog just for myself and just to give like some information and stuff out there. But it really has turned into something magical. I have so many people that ask me questions or will respond to a post or a like, and I've spoken at webinars and I've spoken for many different foundations. And it's just amazing. If you really put your voice out there, the people that will listen to it. So I always tell people, you know, it's super easy to start. I started literally in my hospital bed the day I found out I had cancer, and I haven't stopped. So I look back and say, wow, this is amazing. But it's America. So anything is possible.
And so if there is one thing you want someone to kind of take away from your story and your experience, what would it be?
There are hard times. Just because people smile through it doesn't mean that it's, you know, all peaches. It's hard and it's difficult, and it's okay to feel depressed. It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to be sad. And it's also okay to be happy. I have good days and bad days now. I still suffer from chronic graft-versus-host disease. I have slip discs in my back, you know, osteoporosis from different things. But I have good days and bad days. And the bad days, you lay in bed and watch movies. And the good days, you get out there and you write blogs and you have fun and throw a football with your kid. You have to make the best of each day. And some days are worse than others, but that's okay because tomorrow is not going to be like today. Just do what you can and push yourself through it.
So what is something that maybe is like kind of frustrating or isolating about cancer that you wish other people understood more when you talk to them about it?
So I always talk to people about the financial toxicity of cancer. And a lot of people say, oh, they're diagnosed with cancer, they're going to start a GoFundMe. But a lot of people who haven't had someone, you know, close to them with cancer, it's hard for them to understand the real aspects. Like you're working your whole life or you're watching your kids, but everything changes. So your spouse or, you know, your family have to take care of you and can't work. And there's more money coming out because of medication and gas to get there and tolls if you have to. And it's a big burden. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. And there are amazing foundations that do help. But I think that maybe we need as a country to further the financial assistance for cancer patients, whether it be pediatric, young blood cancer patients or older. I think we need help with that.
You kind of talked about some of the side effects that you're still dealing with. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and like how challenging that is? Because I think a lot of people have this concept that, you know, if you're in remission, cancer is just over and not affecting you anymore.
Well, I started a little docuseries called The Gray Matters because I feel like it's a gray area in cancer, the after cancer. In films and TV, we see cancer diagnosis, and it's either they make it through and they're good, or they don't, and there's a funeral. A lot of times, people don't understand that just because we are through treatment and we may be cancer-free, it doesn't mean that our bodies didn't take a brutal beating, and we have to get that back up and running. Chemo is a drug, and it's dangerous, but it does what it's supposed to do, but it also can wreak havoc on your body. So things like irritable bowel syndrome or osteoporosis or arthritis or fibromyalgia, neuropathy. These are all things that can happen from getting chemotherapy, which can run the rest of your life. I deal with the chronic graft-versus-host disease from my stem cell transplant, and it's hard each day. Today, I'm going to my pain management doctor. You know, each day is different. And I think the disability of not being able to show people what you're going through is really hard for them to understand. Just because I don't walk around with a cane or, you know, hunched over because my back hurts doesn't mean I'm not feeling that pain. So there's a lot of like invisible pain, but just because I say I'm in pain doesn't mean I'm not, because you can't see it. So I feel like it's a gray area. A lot of times, you know, people don't understand what you're going through, but side effects happen, and it's something that most cancer patients after treatment deal with.
Do you have any kind of like tips or things that were really helpful to you during your journey, like while you were going to treatment, or, you know, things that might be helpful to talk to your doctor about, stuff like that?
Well, I had downloaded one of the doctor questions on the LLS website. They have great like notebooks and things. So I would always forget to ask my doctor. So I always say, grab a notebook and keep it, you know, by your side so you can write something down. When I was in the hospital, I know chemo regimens are different. I was in there for a long time. I made a schedule for myself so that my days, I knew what the outcome of my days were. So it would kind of keep me off of that anxiety or the PTSD that I was feeling. So that was really helpful. Lots of blankets, comfortable pillows. I wrote a few blogs about, you know, what to bring cancer patients. And, you know, we like to still be ourselves. I did crafts in the hospital, lots of crossword puzzles. People would send me their playlists of music so I could listen to different playlists, Netflix shows that they liked. So it was great. I love that we have the internet and we can share things. Zoom meetings, FaceTimes. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there and things that you can do for cancer patients. A friend of mine brought wigs in and dress up costumes. So we played dress up one day. They did kind of like a chef night out where like three friends came in and they brought like different things for me to try to eat. And we did that in the hospital. There's so many opportunities. Just because you're in the hospital for cancer, like, it doesn't have to mean that you have to sit in bed and be upset or your family be upset. You can still live your life. It's just a little different.
So how old is your son now?
Right now, my son is 7. He'll be 8 Christmas Eve. He actually has his own website, Cancer is an Imposter. He wrote his own book about when I got sick. And then there's books for other kids on there and other kids talking about cancer and what it is for them and what it's like for them. So he likes to follow in my footsteps. And that's amazing for me to see because he's so young.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Can you tell me about how you spoke to him about cancer and how you kind of helped him process all that?
Yeah. So we actually put him into play therapy probably as soon as I got home, which helped a lot with him kind of going through this, what's happening. I simply told him I was sick and, you know, mommy doesn't have hair now because of the medicine that I had to get. But we would count hairs when they came in. I have a video of him putting a fidget spinner on my head and spinning it. Different things. We painted my head. We, you know, did funny masks. We did face masks, like little things just to make him understand that just because I had a bald head, it wasn't a bad thing. Like, it was funny. We wore different wigs. Like, we did different things. So I think that kind of helped him be like, okay, she's sick, but it's not bad. And he still remembers those things. When I was sick the second time, it was a little bit harder for him to see me bald because I think that was PTSD for him. So he would ask me to wear wigs, which I did, and pretended I had my hair back. And he was very vocal about not, you know, feeling certain things. He didn't like my port. I still have my scar, which he likes me to keep covered. So that's a trigger for him. And we work through that. I started a notebook and he would at first when he was younger, draw what he was feeling. And then I would draw like mommy with a sad face in a hospital bed. And then he would draw home with a sad face. Like we're both sad. And then now that he's older, we still do it today with a notebook and I'll write how I feel. And then he'll write how he feels in it. And that just helps us communicate with our feelings and what we're going through to this day. And just because he learned it in therapy doesn't mean that I can't use it at home. And it's been a really great communicator for us. It's helped so much.
So related to, you know, your whole cancer journey, is there anything that we didn't touch upon that you want to add or that you feel like is important for people to know?
I just like to throw out there that just because you're feeling depressed or sad or anxious doesn't mean that it's all you. I felt in the beginning when I was like away from my son, super depressed. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going through this. But I was like afraid to talk to people about it. And the social worker at my hospital, she was absolutely amazing. And she's like, it's okay. I even understand. I can't imagine what you're going through. So in breaking down that barrier, I think mental health is not spoken about enough. And it's not talked about, but it's okay to have breakdowns and anxiety and depression when you're going through cancer treatment. A cancer diagnosis is completely crazy and it throws you down this downward spiral of questions and whys and how am I going to make it? How am I going to do this? What is my life going to be like? And it's okay to be completely upset and anxious, but you can talk about it. Mental health definitely is the number one thing on my list. It isn't spoken about enough. And I just want other cancer patients to know that other people have gone through what you're going through. And there's so many people out there that will talk to you, that can talk to you. Don't ever feel like you're a burden or feel like you have to harbor any feelings for hurting other people's feelings. No, you can get through this. We all can get through this. And it's okay to feel what you're feeling.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.